I have to get better at managing time, so thank you for patiently waiting for the Mass. Today is the Feast of the Holy Family of Nazareth. There will not be blessings of articles after Mass today, and we will not have benediction this evening. The cleaning of the chapel will be this Monday after the 8:30 Mass. Today is our 45th anniversary of our patronal feast of the Holy Family. Please continue praying for us, since several of us are still ill and one of us has tested positive for COVID. He is doing much better, as we all have improved the last couple of days. Thank you for your prayers, masses, and good wishes. The feast this week, Tuesday, is the Feast of St. Hyginus. Thursday is the commemoration of the baptism of our Lord. Friday is the Feast of St. Hilary and St. Felix. And Saturday is the Feast of St. Paul, the first hermit. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brethren, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against any other, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive. But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And may the peace of Christ reign in your hearts. Unto that peace indeed you were called in one body. Show yourselves thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. In all wisdom, teach and admonish one another by psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing in your hearts to God by his grace. Whatever you do in work or in work, word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 42 to 52. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And after they had fulfilled the days, when they were returning, the boy Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know it. But thinking that he was in the caravan, they had come a day's journey before it occurred to them to look for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem in search of him. And it came to pass after 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who were listening to him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, in sorrow thy father and I have been seeking thee." And he said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" And they did not understand the word that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these things carefully in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace before God and men. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So, as is always the case, Holy Mother of the Church in the Sacred Liturgy has given us a tremendous amount of material for our own meditation and mental prayer. And I do want to say, I'm a little shocked and in admiration, using the gospel, to see how many people are here. I was told last night that I was not allowed to walk across because it was too icy. And that's a few yards. So, congratulations. I hope it's bravery and not something else. Nothing else, nothing bad happens on the way home. So, what do we have at this Mass? We have the beginning of sometimes the shortest season, liturgical season, in the calendar for the Church. Because this season, which we just began, it's called the season after Epiphany or Epiphany season. This season can be as short as 2 weeks, 2 Sundays. Sometimes it can be as long as 6. So we have just begun a new season, and it started with the Feast of the Epiphany. So we'll learn a lot about the season for the rest of these Sundays, but just to give us an idea of what we're looking towards and what we're looking at and what this Sunday is teaching us as being the first Sunday after the Epiphany. What's happening? First of all, we know now, usually all the Christmas decorations come down after the Feast of the Epiphany. The three kings have come. It's only when the Feast of the Holy Family is the day after the Epiphany, or it's close to it, or something like that. And so that's why we have this year. And this reminds me, I just wanted to point out the beautiful look of the altar with the matching antependium and tabernacle veil, and of course the vestment, which I had one of the servers read for me the dedication. This is, maybe some of you have not seen this, because it was just given to Father a couple of years ago on his anniversary. This has, if maybe you can really see it, it has our coat of arms right here in the front. And it's the Trinity, the first Holy Family, if you want. And it's got Holy Family, pray for us. And then on the back, you can see, of course, the image, beautiful image. And then there are these, I'm pointing this out because it was a work of the sisters and the priests and the brothers, because the design, you can look, the design of the hearts of the three members of the Holy Family come from a design from one of the brothers. So that's a wonderful thing, pointing that out. Also pointing this out, which you will not see, unfortunately, but the sisters gave these flowers for the feast and the anniversary, one for the refectory table and one for the breakfast room, which is the same room, but we put it in a separate place. These are beautiful. They've been beautiful arrangements, of course, but this one, it has the Christmas theme in it. I can see that. And it has the roses, and so Father was, of course, admiring them and commenting on the sweet aroma of them. But the other thing I want to point this out too, because of the liturgical sense, which you have, you've been imbued with it, that carries over to all the customs of Catholics. So here are these new things. This is, as I said, maybe it's the first time you're seeing this vestment, some of these other things, but the chalice was with us from the beginning. It came with us from Michigan. Maybe the most important thing besides the chalice, it points out something, I think. Of course, we have some tremendous things that have been come to us over the years, these altar cards, handmade and designed and painted and everything. If you ever get a chance to see by the sisters years ago, probably 25. So there's all kinds of things, all with tremendous meaning. But of the things here, the only things that came with us from Michigan are that chalice and that missal. But back to the Epiphany season, and we're not going through that whole season, but I just want to point out, it is the time of manifestation. The Son has come, prepared by Advent, and He's come at Christmas, and now it is being shown to us. And how does that happen with the Epiphany? That is, we are not left out. Most of us are Gentiles, that is, we are not Jews. The Jews had the revelation through the shepherds. And as St. Leo, the great doctor, pope, doctor of the incarnation, teaches us, if you've read his readings during Christmas time, he teaches us that for the chosen people, only a rational creature could express to the chosen people that the Redeemer had come. And so that was an angel had to announce to them that the Son of God was born. But for the Gentiles, that's us. We were less. So a creature is sent to communicate the same message to us, but we are not enlightened. So we don't have a rational creature teach us. We have a natural, non-rational creature that is a star that leads these magi and the people in their caravan to find the same thing. That showing forth of the Son of God to the Gentiles, which is the rest of the planet, is something that's going to be taken care of during this season. Okay, so we'll leave that there. But I point out that at that Mass and at this Mass and at the Gospel account of the shepherds coming, St. Luke makes a point of telling us, he is a classicist, and he gives credit in his bibliography, and he doesn't have it at the end, he puts it right in the text, and he says, all these things that I'm telling you were given to me by the Mother of God, who kept these things in her heart, turning them over and over. Hear that? That was in today's gospel too. So he's telling us these things and teaching us that the Blessed Mother is explaining it because she's thinking about these things. And all these people come, the Magi, but they came with the caravan and people that were coming with them and just assisting them. Now, we just give those little bit of details to give us an idea of what's happening during the season. The other thing we want to talk about is this. There is the line here. This is St. Luke's Gospel. We've just heard it. Second chapter. This is the 49th verse. And you've heard it already. The Blessed Mother says, why have you done this? And your father and I have been searching for you. So we're hearing that the scripture, the Holy Ghost is letting us know Saint Joseph is the father of our Lord, not naturally, biologically, but he's still the father. There is no kind of quotation marks around it, just so we understand that. We always see foster father, it seems to be a lessening of his role. But here's the 49th verse then. And then he said, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? We have, and we've read it, a book on that verse. That verse has the impact, and the book has much of this in there. We cannot tell you the book, but we'll just tell you this one thing. This verse puts away all of the doubts and all of the attacks and all of the underminings of the scripture and our truths of faith that the modernists and non-Catholics and all the evil people try to say. Because here it is, at age 12, the Son of God is letting everyone know that, first of all, he did not say, St. Joseph is not my father, but he did say, I am about my Father's business. He is quite well aware that his natural father is God the Father, and that he has come on a mission. And although he has these family ties, his mission comes above all that. He knows everything about himself clearly. He's God. So you see, all of the attacks against our Lord and all the attacks against faith fall on their face with the first words recorded about the Savior. So we just want to make sure everyone has that. Now, the next thing we want to talk about is what this feast is celebrating. It's celebrating the Holy Family. And Pope Leo XIII, who was had a great devotion to the Holy Family, obviously. He had a great devotion to the Holy Rosary. He wrote about a dozen encyclicals just on that. He had a great devotion to the parents of St. Anne. Little bit of a tie there because his name was Joachim. So he had a great devotion to Blessed Mother's father, and he elevated their feast. Okay, enough there. But in his texts, Pope Leo XIII talks about the Holy Family and the qualities of these people. How St. Joseph, and he's telling us, by the way, as he goes on to say, but he tells us, but St. Joseph, he is the perfect example because he is the embodiment. Every one of these persons, the Holy Family, can be talked about in sermons, so we can't get into this, but it's just enough to say this, that St. Joseph, of all the people ever created and whoever will be created, he is the one person that is closest in imitating in bodily, physical presence, God the Father. And Pope Leo tells us, and his care and his foresight and providential looking out for the Holy Family was the action and the working out of God the Father. That is tremendous to think about. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the perfect model of the love that the mother brings to the family. And he lists modesty. Now, we can't go through the whole thing on that because we heard the word modesty in Advent. And of course, it means that virtue that guards purity, but it's also that ability to carry oneself with the commensurate dignity that one has. So you see what we're talking about. What the Pope is telling us, that the Blessed Virgin Mary is aware of her role as the Mother of God, and she acts accordingly. And then for our Lord, he singles out, and that's we're all part of a family, one way or another. So you can be identifying and saying, okay. Because the Pope then goes on in the encyclical saying, these are the models you should copy, fathers, mothers, and then children. Listen to that. What is the person that we are supposed to model ourselves after as a child in the family, which, by the way, we all are? We cannot all be mothers in a family. We cannot all be fathers in a family. But we are actually all children of families. And who is the one we imitate there? God. And how? By obeying. St. Bernard goes on in the readings for today all about dust, you which have been formed from the dirt of the earth, rise up in pride, not to listen to anybody else. Well, will you listen to your God? Will you listen to him if he comes into the world, the Son of God? Will you listen to him? And will you be subject as he was to mere creatures? You heard the text of the gospel. So he's stinging rebuke, but a great encouragement. This is what's happening to us. These are the models that we have and we're trying to do. We can go through, and by the way, this epistle for this day, which so much in it, you can hear it. I'm hearing, give thanks. Have the peace of Christ throughout the whole body. And he's telling us how that's practiced with a heart of mercy, imitate Christ. Can you hear him, St. Paul, the Holy Ghost speaking through St. Paul, writing through St. Paul, do you hear him giving us the Our Father in different words? Do you hear him saying, forgive others the way God forgives you? It's just Our Father being told to us. These are the things, now, just on that, we understand. We're all human beings, so we have challenges in our lives and getting along with everybody. So that's true. But for Catholics, we can spiritualize and we can turn all these challenges into great moments of grace, again, as St. Paul's talking about. And I'll stop there, but I will just put this little footnote to it. This epistle is also used for the feast of St. Joseph the Worker. And it adds on verses after this, where he tells everyone to do everything for the Lord. We've heard that part, but then at the very end of that epistle, it says, serve the Lord Christ. So we have St. Joseph giving us that lead. And the Pope in the encyclical about this feast goes on to tell everybody. He talked about the individuals, but then he talked about the family itself. And he said, for those who are well off, families that are well off, he says, you must make sure that everyone is always aware that the most important thing in our family is virtue, not riches. He specifically says that. And he says, for those who are great majority of everyone, I guess the middle class, you want to say, those who are always laboring and working to make ends meet. He says, you, like that, think of the fact that's exactly how the Holy Family was. They had to work hard. St. Joseph had to work hard. And Pope Leo does a beautiful little meditation about how our Lord, who is, we hear it in the last gospel, through him all things were made. So the Son is the means of creation. And now, what does he do when he actually comes into his creation? What does he want to do? He wants to be a fabricator, a carpenter. He wants to get his hands dirty, working in the creation he himself has done. So he says, the Pope says, to all of you laboring, the families, and that's really everybody, he says, think of Christ, who wanted to water his limbs with sweat and perspiration by hard work and labor as a carpenter in preparation for watering those limbs with blood on the cross. So that's these examples. And so he says, those who are struggling, do not be angry. Do not be bitter. Do not be resentful. These are the means that the devil uses to sow seeds of division, when these things should make you feel like, I'm like Christ. God has picked me to work more like, live like he did. And he goes on, and we'll have to stop there. But obviously more can be said about the family. Because it is, I'm going back on my word. Because we take the family for granted. We do. Because we enter into it as an infant, and there it is, we're there. And then we move on. And it hurts. You have to think about this, especially parents, but young people too. Think about it. If you've ever been in some kind of a sport or something, and the coach is wise or he's a good one, he'll give you a heads up, because it's not all just brute force, obviously. It's some kind of strategy and things. And you'll hear them say, if the opposition is moving you in a certain direction, they're moving the ball this way, there is this terminology of a misdirection. So you always keep one person just on the other side, waiting for the end around, the reverse. So a little tip in life, just get a sense of where the devil, who is very tries to stay hidden, where he is trying to move us with propaganda. Just, you have to be above the fray a little bit. You have to look, be wise, and take a look and see what is really going on. And that's coming out more and more for everybody. What is he trying to do? What is he trying to do with divorce? What is he trying to do with destruction of purity and chastity in marriage, with adultery, with fornication, with artificial birth control, with unnatural vice? And you can go down the list. What is he attacking? He is attacking God, the creator of life. He hates that. He hates life. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And the place where all these things are protected is the family. And if you look back and think about it, what is that first family? You see the family comes right out of a natural contract, which has been elevated to a sacrament, that of marriage. It's connected right to it. So the first marriage, the first family, Adam and Eve, and then their first two, their sons. And if we start analyzing that and comparing it to the Holy Family, you'll see what's going on. Because you see, our Lord is coming. He's going to undo what the first Adam ruined by disobedience. He's going to come and be marked by subjecting himself, not just to God, but to his creatures. You see what he's doing? Our Lord is undoing everything from the foundation up. He is undoing the devil's work right from the instant he comes into the world. He's done all of this work. He's been doing the sweat, the perspiration, before he did the blood on the cross. He is undoing, sanctifying everything. He's removing this animosity between brothers over what? Worship. Because the one son, Abel, who is mentioned at every Mass, we want our sacrifice to be like that. We give all back to you, God. And the other son, who did his form of worship, but less, and saw that his was not as acceptable as his brother's, and God warned him, do not let this envy take hold of you. And he didn't heed him. And heed God's message, and we know the rest. So what is it we're seeing with the Holy Family? We are seeing, this gospel is pointing it out. These were, it's almost, I laugh because how could it be otherwise? These were very devout people. It says, when the days were fulfilled, they had to go up for these holy days. You just had to be there for the holy day itself. They were there for the whole 8 days, it says, when the days were fulfilled. So they were staying there the whole time. And they did this not just once a year. They're doing it at all of the major feasts. That is devotion in worship. So that's another mark of a true and good holy family. And, okay, we have to stop. Sorry. Because we do have, finally, of course, the fact that this is the anniversary for the community. And take just... And this, I forgot to mention at the beginning, this is, so many things are like this, if you see them through those eyes. For example, I'll just point this out. If you see, if you read, you can't help it really, reading the Gospels and things through your own eyes, whatever your, and we all have a vocation, by the way. Okay, it's not like, we say this all the time to people, what do you want to do when you grow up? As if, you're not doing anything right now. You are doing something from the instant that you have been created. So the very first thing you are is you are a member of a family. And you already have the job, and that's where the parents teach you these virtues and things. You must obey and fit in and all this. So we already have a vocation. And then things are added on to that as we go along. Now it's added on, part of your vocation is, as part of the family, you have to wash these dishes. And so on. You must learn these things in school because you must be able to survive in this world so you can help others in the future. So we all have a vocation, and things are added on. So when you look at the Gospels and things, you can't help but see them through your own eyes. And that's one of the things that, for example, in religion, the novice, the seminarian, you see that. Now, I single out, this is everybody, as I just said, but I single out the seminarians, for example, because that's what was happening, that's what's happening in the Gospels. We see Christ teaching these seminarians. Let us call down thunder and fire on these towns. No, you don't know what spirit you speak. He's teaching them, see? And he says to them at the end, that is, at the Last Supper, did you ever want anything? No. That's our Lord looking out for each of us. So we see this vocation thing, and we see it in this Mass, and we say it again to all the people here who have vocations, that I'm talking about to religious life or priesthood. But I do speak to those who are out on the either live stream or that we know of, because as we said on New Year's Day, we all have challenges, and if you've lived long enough, you have seen how God protects and takes care of. And how did I get out of that one? The bullet was buzzing right, I could hear it right in my, it nicked my ear. But I'm still here. And this anniversary is a time when we can reflect on that a little bit, just so you know it already, but it's a time to really see that, and for vocations. What do I mean? First of all, and a woman recently, a month or two ago, wrote saying, do saints pick us? It seems like we pick our favorite saints. But do saints pick us? And the answer is they do. And Father was talking about that. And I say that because the Holy Family picked us. And I understand the scripture about the Blessed Mother witnessing these things and having it go over in her mind. Because as the Gospels tell the story, and the story gets intensified and concentrated till this is his first year of public life, his second year, his third year, and then these are his last few months. This is his last week. These are his last hours. And the Blessed Mother, remember, the Station of the Cross, that's her custom. Never to forget, always to be having these things go over in her mind. We've had 45 years to go over these things. So we think of St. John, no problem at all for St. John, 60 years later, to write down exactly the words Christ said. No problem. We know it. We do it. And we do it right during these days. Right starting at Christmas. Every day we remember everything. And this particular anniversary marks that, because this is the actual, it's the Feast of the Holy Family. They picked us. But this is the actual date. It was January 9th, 1977. And why we say that's the case is because, as you see, at Christmas, seminarians would go home. And we all came back on the Saturday before this feast. And Father was picking us up at the airport, and everyone was coming in from all different parts of the country, and we're coming together. And we're coming, in a way, like the Magi. Not the Magi themselves. We're just the people tagging along. Maybe we're holding the little rope for the camel. we're tagging along, and we're following, we're going, well, in this case, going west into the unknown. No idea what was happening. Well, we knew what was happening, but what the future was. We did know, people had told us, you are not worthy to even wear a cassock. We heard people say, I will do everything in my power to see that you are never ordained a priest. And we heard that repeated through the years. And this community, who likes to talk about negative things? I only mention that to you to point out the tremendous difference between the darkness and the light. Because as was said at that time, God will provide. And even saying it at the time, believing it, but it felt hollow. But still believing. We can now say, and I'm saying this for young people, older people should have already experienced this in life. And to people that are hearing or maybe listening in, it's true. No matter how much the devil or people want to undermine Christ and God, they cannot do it. If anything, any evil is done in the world, it's only because God allows it. The general judgment will teach us all things. Why? But sometimes, if we're smart enough and we learn from these things that happen to us, we learn things like, that person's not stopping me from being ordained. He can't do that. God is stopping me. Did you get that? No one's doing anything to anyone else except God allows it. And as soon as you understand that, any sense of resentment or anger or anything, right, it disappears. Why? How could your Heavenly Father do anything bad to you? It takes away all the sting. And then you realize God has a reason. There's some reason why. Maybe he wants you just to learn that everything that happens to you is because he lets it happen. I'm telling you this so you can put it into practice in your own lives, because it's living proof. Because no matter what was done, and all that, I am a priest. I'm standing here today. 45 years ago, see, that's why when I see the creche still up at this on this day, I see us sitting around it, not knowing what's happening. Homeless. We came out, Father said, with $500. And God took care of us. And I'll tell you another thing that this community is marked by. I know it because I've heard them say it. Where did I hear them say it? Right here. Because when we were, 7 years, that's a long time ago, 38 years ago, 7 years ago, I heard another person, the priest said, there's no point in talking to this person. But being as we are, I talked to them anyway and put it right to them and heard with these ears this. Now we know that you are loyal. Have you heard that word before? This is what the outsiders, that was the first thing this person said to me. We know that, servants of the Holy Family, you are loyal. Now, the message went on from there. It was interesting in that way. Sometimes you have to cut ties like that if you want to get something else. Did you hear that? So first was acknowledged with begrudgingly of an admiration for this type of loyalty, and then was the sinister, sometimes we have to move our attachments if we want to get ahead. Never do that. Young people, never do that. Don't deflect the tiniest degree off of the true line. Because you do it now at this point in your life, and then 60 years later, that little tiny degree, you're off this far now from the line. That's why it hurts so much when we see young people compromising principle when it shouldn't be part of their makeup at all. So, we don't want to go on. Although I will just add this, just to show how God works out things. Remember the person who said, I will do everything in my power to see that you're never ordained a priest? When that person was facing tremendous challenges and he needed help, he was not above coming to that door and knocking on it, and I answered the door and brought him in. And he wanted to talk to Father about his needs. And Father said, sure, I'll help you. And then as he left, he knelt down in front of Father and asked for forgiveness for what he had done to Father. And Father said, I happily bless you. I forgave you years ago, as we all did, because how could you be angry at God the Father? So, we say this to you to join with us in this great anniversary. And of course, there's many more stories. Father never likes to talk about miracles, you know, but we've had many favors throughout the years, and the list goes on. Many of you know them. All of it is to tell you people, especially young people, because you can't see the future. You can, experience like this can tell you, oh, you know, somebody had this happen. But at the beginning, 45 years ago, you don't have any experience. All you know is you have to follow principle no matter where it takes you. I'm telling you, you've got to do it. And if God is calling you, you've got to follow it. And he will help you all the way. He will. There is nothing can stop God. And we just had again last year, when travel and every, you know, no one could travel around different places in the country and all that, and yet someone came and made another priest. The miracle favors. Sorry, Father. The favors are happening up to the present moment, and the favors are happening for each of you. You just have to believe, you have to trust, and God will take care of us all. God will provide. May God bless you.